Welcome to the Quest Podcast, proudly presented by the Muscular Dystrophy Association as part of the Quest family of content. I'm your host, Mindy Henderson. Together, we are here to bring thoughtful conversation to the neuromuscular disease community and beyond about issues affecting those with neuromuscular disease and other disabilities and those who love them. We are here for you to educate and inform, to demystify, to inspire, and to entertain. We are here shining a light on all that makes you, you. Whether you are one of us, love someone who is, or are on another journey altogether, thanks for joining. Now let's get started. Just in time for Valentine's Day, my guests for today are Alexa and Jacqueline Child, sisters and co-founders of Dateability, a dating app geared toward individuals living with disabilities or chronic illness. Alexa graduated from Georgetown Law in 2015 and currently works as a public interest attorney. Through witnessing her sister's experience with disability, Alexa has become an advocate and an ally for the disability community. She's passionate about social justice, enjoys TV and film, and loves all things Halloween, which I think is really fun. And next, we have her sister, Jacqueline, who has turned her experience with disability and chronic illness into this new venture. As I mentioned, she created Dateability with her sister after years of discouraging ableist experiences on the mainstream dating apps. When she isn't managing her health, Jacqueline enjoys playing guitar, reading, and spending time with her family and dogs. I am also a dog person, so I've got to ask first, what kind of dogs do you have?
My dog is a lab mix. She's a rescue. I rescued her on a whim in college. And then our family dog is a very sweet golden retriever.
I have a golden retriever mix who is the naughtiest little puppy dog you have ever seen in your life. But that's not what we're here to talk about. I could talk about, we should do a dog podcast. But another day, another time. So just want to thank you both for being here. I've had the opportunity to meet you on one or two other occasions, and I'm fascinated by your story and this product that has grown like gangbusters and is super popular. I told you before we started recording that so many people have requested you on the podcast. So really excited to have you here today.
We're so excited to be here.
Thank you. So whoever wants to kick us off, would you mind telling us a little bit about your story and how this app came to be? You know, I'd love to hear, you know, some of your experience with the other dating apps and what it was that was sort of disillusioning and, you know, really prompted you to go on this journey.
Yeah. So, hi, everyone. I am Jacqueline, and I am about to turn 30 in a few months. And my desire to create Dateability really stemmed from my personal experience living with chronic illness and disabilities and seeing how ableist the world is, and specifically that manifesting in the dating space. I started to use the dating app seriously after graduating college, and that was when I moved to Denver with Alexa. And so she wasn't on the apps at this time, but I was. And I, quite honestly, could not get past a first date or even get a date. And I really do attribute that to my chronic illnesses. Alexa and I are very similar. You know, our values are the same, our interests are the same. And the one thing that really makes us different is the fact that I'm chronically ill and she is not. And it was really hurtful to go through these experiences with people either rejecting me after I've mentioned my disability, or saying some offensive comments, like telling me what to do with my body, not having children, so on. And then also people's families telling them not to date me because of my complex medical history. And I was, at this time, I was going through a lot with my health. It was very, very unstable. And while now I'm still, you know, I battle these illnesses every day. My health has stabilized to where I kind of know what to expect every day. But a couple of years ago, it was up and down, surgeries, procedures, all these different experimental treatments. And I always wondered, like, how is someone going to handle this? People, I felt like a burden. People told me I was a burden.
Wow. And
it really, quite honestly, sucked. I would look at Alexa, and she would have people knocking down the door to go on, take her on a date. And she was having to turn people down, and people were begging to go out with her. And I was like, what? Why? And I couldn't wrap my head around it. And I really wanted to find a space where I could meet people like me. I am really the only disabled person in my circle and my friend group. And prior to starting Dateability, I really wasn't involved in this space. And so I wasn't able to talk to many people about my experiences. And I just kept reiterating, like, I just wish there was something, some app, some place where I could meet people like me. And so we decided to create it ourselves.
I love it. I love it. And so often those are the most successful things, you know, because you discover a need in your own life, and therefore it becomes something that you're passionate about and have a real personal drive for. And, you know, I think clearly that's what happened with both of you. And hearing your story, my goodness, I can't believe the nerve of people. I don't want to focus on the negative, but just listening to some of the things that you had to deal with. I didn't share initially. I think you probably know I'm a wheelchair user myself, and I did the dating app thing before married my husband, which has been, we've been married for a minute now. But dating, I think no matter how you slice it, is hard. And dating with a disability is, you know, there are even a few more complexities. What people think is okay to say to you, the unsolicited advice, things like that, it never ceases to amaze me. So, but good for you for taking your power back and building out this app. So I feel like I want to get sort of the stats of the app. You know, is it a free app? How many active members do you have? Those sorts of things. And how long have you been around at this point?
We launched October 21st, 2022, so just a little over a year old. And we have over 14,000 users across North America. So mostly United States, but some in Canada. And we're hoping to expand geographically, internationally this year or next. And the app is free. There will always be a free version. Accessibility really is our top priority. Mm. And that not only goes for creating a safe and accessible community, but also making the cost accessible. Eventually, we'll implement a subscription model, but there will always be something free, and it won't be very as restrictive as some of the other apps have it. So we're excited about that. We are available on Apple on iPhones, Androids, and web apps. So talking about accessibility, we understand that some people prefer to use or need to use their desktop laptop and want to access the app on their web browser. And so we made it so that they have that capability, which a lot of the other apps do not have.
Amazing. Did either of you have a tech background before this?
No.
Do you have incredible people that you were able to tap into, or did you figure it out as you went?
We found a tech team, some consultants to start us, and to get the first version of the app out, and the iterations that followed. And then now we are transitioning to an in-house team. So they will be, you know, really part of Dateability. They won't be consultants. And we're going to roll out new features with them. So we're really excited. It's really funny because we were just like, oh, let's make an app. And then we just kind of decided what we needed to do to create an app. And
yeah.
literally included taking a notebook and drawing what we wanted each screen to look like. And then I went into, you know, Photoshop and photoshopped things together. And so it was really, you know, grassroots strategy, but it worked for us. Mm-hmm. And I think it makes it even more rewarding that we really didn't have any background in this. All we knew is that we have the entrepreneurial spirit, and we credit that to our dad, and we believed that we could do it.
That's so great. That's really fantastic. I think, you know, and it's a really good, I think, lesson for other people out there to hear, because, you know, there's so many people out there that have dreams and ambitions and ideas and things, but, you know, so often you hear people say, well, I don't know where to start and things like that. And I think it's just about solving one problem at a time, and tackling one thing at a time until you've made some progress, and then that builds momentum. So I'm very impressed, and I can't believe that you've only been around for a year. It feels like so much longer than that I've been hearing about you already. So you've definitely created a presence for yourself. So I'm curious, is this dating service exclusively for individuals with disability or chronic illness, or is it open to everyone but geared with an overarching mindset of inclusion?
Yeah, we really wanted to make it inclusive, and that includes non-disabled people.
Okay.
When we first were starting, we were toying around with the idea of, do we just keep it to people with disabilities? And that is not only excluding, allies and advocates, but it also, it'd be really hard to verify. And I think that it would, you know, requiring this information could take a lot of effort, and I'm not sure how many people would do that for a dating app. And so, yeah, we want people to just be willing to join, and those people who have the same values and respect our community.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, important to note that by creating Dateability, we're not saying that disabled people should or can only date other disabled people. I do think that it really helps when, like, you meet somebody who views the world in a similar way to you, or has similar values or similar understanding. And so I think that that is really helpful. And a lot of times that can come when you date another person with a disability. But there are plenty of empathetic and compassionate non-disabled people out there who are open-minded and adaptable. And so I think it's important to welcome them on the platform and really let everyone, you know, meet their person.
I actually really love that. I like that better than, you know, if it were just an exclusive place for people with disabilities. And I hadn't even thought about the verification factor of, you know, verifying disability or conditions or that sort of thing. So that makes a ton of sense to me. So I also have to ask, and again, this is going to be the last sort of negative question that I ask, but, you know, I think we all know that there are people out there who aren't, you know, on dating apps in general for the right reasons. You know, there are people, you hear horror stories about people scamming people and, you know, just a variety of different things. So how do you ensure that people are there for the right reasons, that no one's using your app that has, you know, crazy fetishes or, you know, things like that, where they're looking to, you know, be a little bit nefarious?
Yeah, we, you know, I think for the fetish aspect and the term devotee, we didn't really know anything about that until we started creating Dateability, and then people would express their concerns. And I think that's probably partly because a lot of Jacqueline's disabilities are invisible, although they manifest physically, you wouldn't be able to tell. And so she's not particularly vulnerable to those type of people. And so we didn't know about it. And, you know, once we realized, so when we started to do this on this venture and on this journey, we downloaded every so-called disabled dating app out there. You know, you do a Google search and stuff will come up. And so we downloaded between the two of us every single one, and they either would crash immediately or it was definitely more of a fetish devotee scenario. It was pretty obvious by the users on there. And so we, you know, kind of crossed our fingers and prayed that we didn't see that, because that is largely out of our control. We can remove those people mm-hmm. from the app. And if
right.
consensual devotee, you know, that there's relationship they're seeking, they will be removed from the app. But we haven't seen that. And I think the reason we haven't seen that is because we really put our faces out there in our story. And these other apps, you don't know who the founder is. You don't know, like, if there's, and no, there's no accountability. And so I think that it changes, and it kind of like encourages these people to join. And with Dateability, like, we're out there, we're, you know, we, our faces are all over our, and we are the brand. And mm-hmm. so I do think that encourages them. And then in terms of, you know, scamming and stuff, that's unfortunately every social, that's like the internet.
It is.
Instagram, Facebook, it doesn't even matter. Concert tickets before on Facebook, it's everywhere. And so we have a couple of safety measures. One, we implemented a profile verification feature. So if you verify your profile, which is reviewed by us, you get a badge. And so while we can't ensure that that person is a good person, we can ensure that you're not being catfished, that the person in the photos is the person that you're talking to. Also have block and report buttons on every profile, and we go through those multiple times a day. And then we have a safety tutorial in upon onboarding, because really at the end of the day, the internet is what it is, and there's only so much we can do.
Yeah.
Educating our users is probably the best form of defense. And so we give them red flags to look out for, you know, and what to do, and encourage them to report users that might be telling them that they want to chat outside of the app right away, which is a red flag. So, mm-hmm. or asking for financial information. And so we definitely provide that to our users and really just try to keep them aware.
That's great. That's great. And I'm actually surprised that you haven't seen more in the way of this kind of bad behavior stuff, because you're absolutely right. The internet and just technology in general, it's a really big problem. And I'm sure is something that you put a lot of thought into. And it's really great, I think, that you haven't seen as much or any of that. That makes me feel a little bit better about things and the dating landscape. So
I mean, Jacqueline, I credit Jacqueline for that too, because she is on the app all the time looking, you know, from our portal, looking at new signups. So anyone that seems suspicious or seems like maybe they're accessing it from, you know, via VPN and they're not from this country, we removed them. We removed them immediately. And so I really do credit Jacqueline for the safety of our app. Thank you.
So nice. So nice. So is disclosing what specific disability or diagnosis a user has part of their profile, or is it up to each user to choose when and how much to disclose?
Yeah. So our section on every profile is called Dateability Deets, and it's an extensive list of broad terms that vaguely describe someone's disability. It could be wheelchair user, immunocompromised, neurodivergent, and it's completely optional, but people can check those off, and it will show up on their profile after basic information, you know, or similar to selecting interests. And mm-hmm. this has been a really great feature because people can disclose it in a way that it's, you know, not very detailed, but it's mm-hmm. at least out there. It's neutrally presented, and it's just, it's a part of me. That's been great because that's something that I struggled with, was disclosing. It's really tricky. You got to know your audience. And typically, if you're talking to a non-disabled person, the audience isn't going to understand, or it's not going to be well received. And so it feels really nice to be able to just, it's a part of me, and it's here, and
I'm
not ashamed of it. And we've received great feedback about this feature, and that people are like, I can finally just have it out there on my profile, and I don't need to worry about when to tell someone that I'm a wheelchair user. Mm-hmm. That's been really nice mm-hmm. to see.
Yeah, well, and I loved the word neutral that you use. I can't remember the full phraseology that you used, but I like that it's there, but it's there in a very unobtrusive kind of neutral way, because while it is, of course, a part of who we are, it's not who we are. And I love that, you know, it's not that you're downplaying it. It's there for anybody that cares. But yeah, it's there's more to a person than just their disability or their illness. So I like the way that you handle it. So with any dating app, it can be hard to figure out what to share and how to navigate that first conversation. What are some of your sort of golden rules? Let's get into, you know, the nitty gritty of dating and dating apps at this point. So some of your golden rules for do's and don'ts for that first phone call or a first in-person meeting, first Zoom meeting, you know, whatever the case may be.
I think if you, let's start with the messaging once you match with someone. I think I always like to start with like some sort of funny question. Like there's, I don't know, there's some question going around, like, if you were what's your favorite form of potato?
Oh, French
fries, baked potato, whatever. And it's just like a funny icebreaker, and there's no wrong answer. And so I think that is always a good tip, is just like start out with comedy. Make it fun, because dating at the end of the day should be fun. But do you have any tips for
messaging? Well, I was thinking about what my favorite potato was.
I was too, I'm not gonna lie. Like if somebody came back with a boiled potato, I might be like, I don't know that we're a pair.
I know. Well, mine's French fries for sure. But
I was just saying, then I was like, oh, potatoes sound good. No, I think starting it off casually too, I think a lot of people put a lot of pressure on the messaging, or if they don't, people don't respond right away, they get frustrated. I think understanding that everyone is, you know, busy, and they, you know, some people want to really make their messages genuine and thoughtful, mm-hmm. and won't respond right away because they want to be able to dedicate time and energy to it. And so, you know, being patient is good. Although there's obviously, like, if you go days without a response, I think that might be saying something.
Yeah.
I also really, in general, say you should FaceTime or meet the person sooner rather than later, and not let the messaging go on for too long. It's really easy for someone to say like one wrong thing, or you misinterpret the tone,
yeah,
and then get the ick. And I think that mm-hmm. you should meet them, whether that's via FaceTime or in person, and just get a feel for them in real life. And so I try not to message that often. I also am not great at responding. So for me, mm-hmm.
The one silver lining of the pandemic was that there were so many cool virtual date ideas, and
it became normal.
Yeah, it really became normal.
Yeah.
And I really encourage our users to date virtually if they want, and mm-hmm. which is why we have our location function. It's optional, so you can search within your radius or you can search throughout the app. And luckily with technology, long distance relationships work out really well. And so
we have successful long distance relationships from the app that are no longer long distance, but they had dated a year and are living together. And so it does work.
But there's really great ideas for Zoom dates. Like I always think it's really fun to, you know, if you picked the door, like a DoorDash or Uber, you pick whatever meal and you have it sent to your date. Activities, you know, doing like the Netflix party thing where you can watch a movie. And there's all these like different card games that you can play, like that have questions and prompts. And I think there's so many options that yeah, dating should be fun.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, can my husband and I join and like date each other again? And because some of this stuff sounds really fun. So let me ask you this. I remember back when I was still dating and I was on, I think there was like one or two dating apps back in the day when I was still dating. But one of the things that I came across a lot was that the person I was maybe talking to would resist getting together and actually meeting. And, you know, I know that everybody's got their comfort levels and some people are ready to meet after a couple of days. Some people are ready to meet after a few weeks, but, you know, I found that that was, a pretty common theme of people that you would meet that never wanted to, you know, finally get together or anything. Is that a red flag for you? And what does that say to you?
I think it's a red flag. Yeah. And I am one of those people right now. And I think it's like emotional unavailability I'm so busy with dateability. I'm taking a pause and not dating at all. And just trying to focus on other aspects of my life because I realize like it's not very fair to other people. Unfortunately, a lot of people lack awareness, and so they don't like realize what they're doing, or they just really like the attention that they're getting from these messages and likes, and so they feed off of that, but they don't actually want to meet you. And I do think that's a red flag.
Yeah, I always think like I'm not on a dating app to have a pen pal. Yeah.
Yes,
and that is it. I see that a lot. I think a lot of people are interested in just, you know, texting, and I think it's real. If that is your case, be really transparent about it. And so that the other person doesn't have these expectations of you that you're just not going to meet.
Yeah. That makes total sense. You mentioned, having had some long distance dating examples and things like that. Are there any particular, you know, fun or special stories, dating success stories that you can share with us?
I think this is our first success story. It was a long distance one, right? Because they match a month after dateability launched. So right before the holidays in 2022. And they live 900 miles apart. They both have chronic illness. They dated for a year. And now they're moving in together, or after the holidays, they moved in together. And so we really need to follow up with them and see how things are going. And then another success story we have is we have a user who has been on the app since day one, and he's so kind and has always been really supportive. And he ended up matching with someone who lived 30 minutes away from him, actually. And they both are on the autism spectrum, and they are now dating, met each other's families, and they spent the holidays together, and they're both so excited, and it's been lovely to watch. And he'll send us pictures of them. And the other day he sent us a screenshot that they're now in a Facebook relationship. So it's official. And it's just really nice to see.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that. That's amazing. So, and I have to ask you, because those are some great sounding success stories. You hear about horror stories. Have you heard any examples of like dates gone wrong that we could chuckle about? No names, of course, but
like a date gone wrong. Sometimes we'll get the feedback like this, it'll be a misunderstanding. This person is not disabled. They're not allowed on the app, and they, don't hesitate to tell the other person. And then they, as well, and we have to clarify, like, no, that's actually not our policy. No, but we haven't heard of anything crazy. Do you have anything? No,
the only thing I'll say is that when I go through the people who are reported or blocked, I will sometimes have a chuckle on them because it will say, you know, I specifically asked for a politically progressive person, and this person says they're conservative and they have a Bible verse in their bio. And so like everyone's allowed on the app.
Yes. That's so funny.
People are very opinionated and particular in what they want, which more power to them.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But I, like you said, everyone is allowed there, and that's a fantastic thing. And you would think that if you didn't get what you were hoping for, you would just move on to the next person. But yeah. I guess that's maybe not what everybody does. So, no. Yeah. So what about, well, first of all, is it an 18 and up? Is yes. that the age range? Okay.
And up, and we are LGBTQ plus inclusive as well.
Love it. Okay. And then, so what is, for anyone that's listening that may be, you know, may go try out your app and is using a dating app for the first time, do you have any advice, any pro tips?
Yeah. Well, I think pictures do mm-hmm. make a difference. And mm-hmm. The best advice that I've seen is that make sure that you're showing your face in at least a few photos. Try not to have sunglasses on. Good quality photos are also important. No yeah. blurry selfies. And limit to like one picture with friends. Uh-huh. People are really just focused on the person's profile. And always, I think of something funny in your bio, or making sure your expectations are clear in your bio is really helpful. And then also filling out as much information as available. So we have on our profiles, the, you know, your education, your job, political affiliation, and those are all optional. You don't have to have those visible on your profiles, but I do think that a more robust profile is more successful.
Yeah, that makes sense to me, because the more information you can share, because the kinds of things that you just mentioned, you know, that's a checklist of information that, you know, and you can be talking about more important, more fun, you know, interesting things. And if you can just, you know, get all of that stuff up there and out there, you can cover a lot of ground really easily. I think I will also say, I was, again, with the dogs, I was always a sucker for anyone that had a dog in their picture with them. So that's my pro tip. You know, this is an audience where accessibility can be an important thing. You mentioned the virtual dates, which I hadn't even thought about, which, you know, just goes to show how long it's been since I've dated. But I thought the virtual dates sounded like really great ideas. And it sounds like there are some great options. And that would certainly add an element of accessibility if you don't want to go out and, you know, risk, you know, picking a place or whatever just yet. But do you have any other tips for fun, creative first date ideas that are also kind of sure to be accessible?
Well, I think like the best thing that you could do is ask someone what their mm-hmm. accessibility needs are. And I think that is something that probably rarely happens on the mainstream dating apps. But I think there's like nothing more attractive than someone recognizing your needs and really showing that they care about it.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, we have such a diverse user base. So we have people who are neurodivergent or people who are wheelchair users, and everyone's needs are so different. But if you, you know, if you're matching with someone who, let's say, has like a sensory processing disorder, asking them what they are comfortable with or let's mm-hmm. say like what accommodations they need is so helpful. And yeah, I mean, you get a tick off on my list.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I think communication is key, and I think it lays a really good foundation for a quality relationship, even if it doesn't end up becoming romantic. You know, mm-hmm. it's, everyone can always use more friends, and so I think
yeah.
it just really is setting up for a nice relationship, whether that's platonic or romantic. And because there are so many creative dates that you can do, but not everyone can do them, you know? And yeah. so I think assuming that one can do them, it gets people into trouble.
Very true. That's a really good point. And as I was asking the question, even I realized, you know, that of course accessibility is a relative term and that means different things to different people. So I think you're absolutely right. It's got to be a personal, you know, something that you pay personal attention to and come up with something that's good for everyone. So when you think about dating in general, is there any advice that you feel like specifically resonates with the disability community?
Keeping an open mind is important. And I sort of see this a lot amongst the chatter on the internet with people judging like one way or the other of people who aren't disabled, who people think it's weird if a non-disabled person chooses to date a disabled person, or people on the flip side, a disabled person will say they absolutely don't want to date another disabled person. Mm-hmm. And I think that it really closes you off to a lot of people. And it also, what we've learned is that like nothing stays the way it is. And so you might get into a relationship with a non-disabled person and then they become disabled or chronically ill. Mm-hmm. And so it's really just important to keep an open mind and see people for who they are.
And I think to not forget about the diversity of the community. I think most people, when they think of something, they think of it in terms of themselves. And so if they think what it means to be disabled, they see what they see when they look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And that's not true. There, it is so diverse. Even among diagnoses, it's so diverse and can manifest so differently. And so we've seen things online, chatter online, like I would never want to date another disabled person because I'm in so much chronic pain that I couldn't date someone who goes through what I go through every day. But just because you're disabled doesn't mean you experience chronic pain every day. So I think, and you know, there's psychiatric disabilities. There's so much, it's just very different. And so I think it's so short-sighted to do that. And it's like self-sabotage too, because why would anyone date that person? If, you know, if you feel that way about yourself, why would anyone want to date you too? And I know Jacqueline went through that at a certain point and she realized that she was essentially discriminating against herself and how ridiculous that is. And so vast and intersectional. And so I think that that's what I'd really want everyone to remember.
I think there's, you know, internalized ableism is prevalent among our community. Experience it. I don't think that there's a disabled person who hasn't experienced it in one way or another. And so we really want to fight that and break the stigma among not only people outside of the community, but also within the community.
Oh, you guys are so wise. I feel like I want to get a cup of coffee like once a week and just hang out because you guys have such a great outlook on the world. So, I've got to ask, Alexa, I think that you said that you had kind of hit the pause button on, you know, dating for a minute. What about you, Jacqueline? Have you found success yet? Are you still looking for the one?
Not yet. But I know that they're out there. Also kind of like Alexa, this has really consumed much of my time. And then, you know, managing chronic illness on top of it has been a lot, but I'm ready for the place where dateability becomes stable enough where I can sort of be more of a user than a company owner. And I can actually use it. I know that my person's out there and
For sure.
Just like this, the change in my perspective and how I view myself is, I mean, I call it a success every day because I had such low self-esteem before this and I was just could not see why anyone would want to date me. And now I've turned a corner and I have a lot to offer and so does everyone else on dateability.
You know, and I think that's a really important piece of your story, maybe, because, you know, thinking about what you had been through and the experiences that you had, and, you know, it sounds like they were hard on you and took their toll. But again, I think I said it earlier, you really took your power back by creating this app. And I love that. And, you know, I think it's a testament to You know, we're all really in charge of our own destinies, and we're all, you know, we have so much more power over who we are and what we think about ourselves and how the world sees us than we may think we do at times. And so what you did for yourself, I think, is such an empowering thing. And I hope that there are lots of other young girls listening to this story to know, you know, what the possibilities really are when you choose to see them. So as Valentine's Day is approaching, do you have any just last pieces of dating advice for people out there who might still be looking for their special someone?
Don't give up hope. Don't put too much pressure on Valentine's Day. It's, you know, it's a commercial holiday. It really is. Yes. Turned into. So don't worry about it. You know, I think a lot of people get down and they feel bad about themselves on that day. Call up a friend. There are so many people out there who feel the same way, you know, or order takeout and watch a good movie. It's just one day out of the year.
And I promise that the people posting on social media, yeah, love letters on there, yeah, about a significant other are not as happy as they seem.
Yes.
It's agreed. True. It is very, really, very true. Yeah.
So, and then don't give up hope. There are so many people out there, and I think good things come to those who wait, and I think everything does take time. We are so used to instant gratification now, and I just think that people are in a rush, and, you know, love is complex, but it's so worth it. And so I just hope people, you know, hang on and have patience.
That's great advice. I can't think of a better note to end things on. We're going to put all of your information in the show notes so that people can, you know, find the app and maybe sign up for the app and start talking to some people, putting themselves out there. I think, you know, I will say, I think connection is such an important piece of life. You know, whatever the outcome is of, you know, doing something like participating on a dating app, whatever the outcome is, I think just getting out there and talking to people, meeting people can do so much for your psyche and your self-esteem. So I hope that people will get out there and make some connections. Thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And see everyone on Dateability.
There you go.
Thank you for listening. For more information about the guests you heard from today, go check them out at mda.org/podcast. And to learn more about the Muscular Dystrophy Association, the services we provide, how you can get involved, and to subscribe to Quest Magazine or to Quest Newsletter, please go to mda.org/quest. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be grateful if you'd leave a review. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button so we can keep bringing you great content, and maybe share it with a friend or two. Thanks, everyone. Until next time, go be the light we all need in this world.